Meeting Irene Williams was one of the highlights of the, 150 interviews that I've recorded to date as part of this nostalgia podcast. Irene Williams is the first centenarian that I've interviewed. And I knew her husband a little. He'd already retired by the time I went to university in the early 1990s, but he was a professor of religious studies. And Irene has outlasted so many from her generation. She was born in the early 1920s. Her father had been in France in the First World War. We hear in this interview about her upbringing. She's the eldest of four sisters, one of whom is still living in the same house. We hear about Sunday school, her father's pacifism, how he became the Baptist Church organist for 44 years. We learn about how Irene met her husband, Cyril, in school. She talks about his brilliance. She talks also about her mother's legacy and values, cleanliness and cooking. We hear about Irene and Cyril's courtship. We find out about Irene's time in London training for nursing and helping refugees, how she didn't want to wait before she got married on the 9th of August 1945, the day war ended. We hear about Irene's wedding dress experience. We learn about a refugee from Holland. We also learn about their daughter Anne contracting polio on the train back from London. That's only one part of the story. There's a lot more to go. I've decided to put this out in two instalments. So for the very first part, let's hear about the background to the life of Irene Williams. Irene is going to start by telling us when she was born.
I was born on the 30th of October, 1921. My father had been in France in the war, and it was when he came back, I don't know whether he knew my mother or not, but she married my mother. He was born in 1890, and my mother in 1894. I don't really know where they got married. His mother had died when the family were young, but his stepmother, I only met her once. She had bought a house ready for him when he came from the war. And when I was born, she had rented the house. So I was born in a house that she owned with a family there. And then, whilst she'd given notice to the people to go, she took me over to the farm where she had married my grandfather. And they moved out. It was then I moved in. And I'm the eldest of four sisters, and one of my sisters is still living in that house. Pippi, the eldest one, I had to help. I remember they missed me one day. I'd gone for a walk, but not a walk. I'd gone up to my cousins because I met them in Sunday school. But I tell the wrong turning. And where are you going, madam? I'm going to Iris and... Oh, they're not here. I'm their grandmother. You better go home now and go up again sometime and tell your mother that you're going. I was a very strict person. I had a good upbringing. But hard. We weren't poor, but we weren't rich either. But my father had come back from the war, and there was no work on the farm for him now. And his brother, what had happened, I'm told, they'd gone to a fair that was moving around, and the recruiting officer had come join the army and see the world. And the two of them signed. Probably they had a pint or something. And to this, they had to go. But my father came back. He's telling me he had to do the Morse code. But his brother, he came back a cripple for life. But I used to go, and he said, I like a little girl like you. I learned, Lisa, that in a pension of 15 shillings, but his father said, there's home for him on the farm for his life. And whoever looks after him, he's got a home in his farm. But he lived to 42. Well, I had to go to Sunday school. There was a Sunday school class quite near home. So I had to go there. But as soon as I went to the school, the daily school, my father said, no more there. You've got to go to the Sunday school where I was. I was old enough to go then, you see, to the school. I just across there. Not realising, after coming back from the war, he became a pacifist. Never again, he said. And we had the television, but once they come, we want you, shut up, he said, and turned it off. If their children had seen what we'd seen, they tell, keep them home. And he became the church, not the church, the Baptist organist for 44 years, free. And I was brought up there, in that little place. I went to Sunday school there. I went to the Band of Hope there. I was baptised there. I married there. And my husband has been buried there. Yeah. It's my sacred acre. Yeah.
And when did you meet Cyril, your husband?
We went to school together. I was telling my son, he was very bright, brilliant. I wasn't bright. But anything to do in Welsh, you know, our village, mm-hmm. there's no English there at all. Yeah. All Welsh. I knew everyone that lived in every house. My mother, she wasn't a scholar at all. But she taught me the basic things of life. She had been a maid in a doctor's house. And cleanliness and cooking, that was it. And it paid off because Cyril met me in school. And when I left, he said, I'm taking you home now. I'll see you again. And I think it took him as much courage. He gave me a kiss and come to see you again, he said. And he did when I was only 5 months between us. He called me my boss on June the 1st, and I was the same age on the 30th of October. And he didn't tell us. He just talked about school and his plans. And you see now, another year now, I'll be doing my higher. And then I'll be going away. I won't see you then, but I'll be coming back. But I did see him. He said, are you going? You see, no entertainment. And I am going back now to 1930s. No cinemas, nothing like that, you see. So we had Gamanba Garnis. When I came out, Cyril was there waiting for me. We walked home. No money. We had no money. Walking everywhere. And then he said, I won't see you now. I'm going away now. He's not telling me where. But then I realised he was going to Cardiff. And he'd better have been to Cardiff. I think he wrote a letter or something. I don't know. But in 2 years, after he was 2 years there, his father died. I never met him, you see. And his only regret was that I hadn't met his father. He would have loved you. He managed to somehow. He said, I won't be coming home. There's no money to come home on the train. I say, and no money. And he did fire watching and paid for that, three of them. And they clubbed together. And they had sixpenny worth of chips. And when they got a pot of jam on the rations, you see, instead of keeping it for a week, they bought a loaf and ate it all the same time. Well, he managed anyhow. And his professor, she said, no, I wanted to stay now for 2 months. And you just missed the first. To get a first, I go to Oxford. No, he said, I'm going home. I've no money. I can't go to Oxford. My mother is on 5 shillings a week pension. And I've got to go home and help there. But I'll be all right, he said. I can go to the Presby College in Carmarthen. But when he arrived there, he was the only one with a beer. It was a college to improve on how to make a sermon. And if they qualified, they'd go to the Presby. So, as soon as he arrived, he was made their president. So he got on with the staff very well. But it's 2 years. And now, my mother, she's lucky my sister is there. And she, her husband is in India, in the army. So she's being paid and she runs a house. And my mother does the cooking. I never told my mother and father about him then, you see. But my father said, you know this young man you're meeting, yeah? He's going to be a minister, yeah? Well, I'm going to see that he comes to our chapel to give a sermon. I want to see him and meet him. So Cyril was asked to come. And the first time my father came home, this young man is a scholar, she said. His first class. And he came to dinner to our house. But no, my mother, Irene is so young. She's helping us. Being the eldest one, you see. The only thing my father wanted for me to pass the driving test. And you could help us such a lot then. They weren't strict then, you see. So at 16, 3 months, I passed the driving test. Now, we said, you could help now. I don't know why, but he works me hard. There's no boy, you see. And the others were younger. So I helped him. I left school. My mother said, I reached school, but no, she had enough education. She knows when I was 12 years old, he said, "You get up now, you go to help." He was in the butchery trade, you see, and the snow everywhere. No one could walk. He said, "We've got to take it around. And I'll take two baskets, and your mother two courses. You take one, and you carry a bag of sandwiches." I was 12 years old, but I did it. And when we came home, we were exhausted. But he said, "The people have had their meat. That's important." And it's important for me, because I paid for it all. And I've told them, "Pay me next week. Things will be better." And I will be in chapel tomorrow. They can play the organ if they want. But the chapel wasn't open for a week. It was everywhere, you see. Well, after that, I had to help every Saturday until I left school. And when I left school, I was able to do a lot of things. "You take this there, you know where they are, you take it there." So I worked with him. But I said, "I'm not going to stay here, I want to be a nurse." "You can do yours later on. You need it here and now." I suppose I was, you see. But I worked hard. And my mother said, "You clean the shoes now, but you're not having shoes yet. You're having boots to keep your ankles straight. And as soon as you won't grow up, you'll have shoes." Probably she's right, I don't know. When the war broke out, I was 18 then. The years had gone. But my mother said, I had prepared to go to London, you see, to be a nurse, because there's a nurse across the road. "You come to the same hospital as me." But she was much older. And my mother, she'd not come to any hospital, any London, with the bombs. But the bomb didn't come. "I'll go teaching then." So what I did, I went voluntary to the school where I was. And my little sister had started school. And she told us, "Don't listen to her. She's my sister. As if she's hard to you, I tell my mother." She grew up to be my greatest friend. Anyhow, I did, after I was 6 months there, telegrams then. "You go, you're qualified enough to come to Yard. The refugees are there." I knew what the refugees were, but where was come to Yard? And my mother, "I'll take you." We go to the school there. So he took me to the school. And the man was there. "Oh, they've sent you. Go down the road. And there's a lady there. And she said she'll ask." Well, I'd never been away from home. So I said, "Yes, you come here." And told her, "We'll look after her, she'll be fine." But there were two old ladies. "Oh, we can go back now then." "Who are you?" "Well, we've brought them down from London. We can go back. You look after them now." I did that for 6 years. The war lasted until 1945. I had to go everywhere on £7.76 a month. And the bosses in the office having 2,000. Well, it's experience, says my father. We'll keep you. We'll keep you. And really good money for bus. And it was experience. In the end, I had a lot of refugees. And an inspector came. Are you looking after these? Yes, he said, I am. One of them is very rude. You leave that to me. So he went to a mother and told him, you take your daughter from that class. They can manage her. Others were fine. Then in one place, handling their money, and they were dirty. And I had something here, and it kept running down there, all over my face. And the landlady said, I think you better go home. It's Wednesday. Well, I'll tell the headmaster. I went home, and my mother said, where have we had some? I don't know. It started yesterday morning. She called the doctor. You get cotton wool, cover her face, and put an this on it, and cover it, set for her eyes, her nose, her mouth. It'll take about a week. So I rang the office and said, I'm not getting to any refugees again. I want a place, a school. Yes, fair enough. You've done your work. You go to Velin Vaur. And after Velin Vaur, 9 months and you'll be qualified. So I went to Velin Vaur. And I loved it there very much. So Cyril said, I get married to you after I've been in college. No, I said, you've got to marry me now. I can't go up on my own. I can't. I've got to get help. All right, then. You can go to college again. You come with me. It'll be far better than college for you. We got married on the 9th of August, 1945. The day war ended. The bomb on the Hiroshima on the 6th. And Nagasaki. We went away until the following day. And he said, we've no money for honeymoon. It doesn't matter, I said. It doesn't matter. My auntie is down for the wedding. We can go back with her to London. Have you asked her? And she told me I can come. So we went to London, to our home. But it wasn't London. They called it London. It was Hornchurch. But then my auntie, went back the same week. Her other sister died, and my mother told her to stay down. No, I've got to go back, she said. I come back. And she had married a widower, you see, and his sisters had gone away, but there was one boy, and would keep him company. So he went to London and joined the celebrations. But then all was well and we came back. When we arrived back, there were people in our house. They wanted to meet me and bring me a present. And Mum said, you know them well. She didn't know. It was one of the headmasters and his wife. We had to go and see you. You've been so good. And my mother, our house, you see, was like everyone was welcomed. We were mixed a lot with people. I was the eldest one, you see. And when we got married, I think it was my mother's wedding. The only thing, my two sisters and one other, I don't want to be. I want a long dress. Well, you're not having one. You're having one dress. You never use it. I want it. But she didn't get it. And she sulks. A photo of the wedding. There you are, I said, you sulked. And then he said, you went away. We had to work hard. I think everyone in the village was welcomed at different days. Mum knew everyone. And our house was known. If you go there, you get a good meal. She was a good cook. She'd been trained in the doctor's house, you see. And that's when I said, thank God. I had no money. And my mother and father bought us furniture for a bedroom and a living room and a second-hand three-piece. And she bought curtains, and Mrs. Owen covered them, and they looked great. And the local man in the shop found a carpet, a square carpet. So that, I'll see, lovely. And Cyril had moved out from his digs. He'd been there 1 year, you see. I said, I can't come now, I can't. Oh, well, I'm going to live on my own then. And I don't know, he was very determined. Yeah, someone had given him a bed, a steel bed with a 3-inch mattress on it. And he lived there. Now you believe me. Anyhow, we eventually went. Our mother, she was a good mother. She never thought she'd have a wedding. And as it happened, well, in about 2.5 years, I had this baby boy. And when they found it was a baby boy, oh, they're in the glory. My father said, I've got a grandson. All daughters and a grandson. So he was idealist. But then, before that, when we got married, in a month's time, Cyril had appendix. And he had to go to hospital in Bridgend. And the deacons came to me. You know what deacons are? Deacons came. We're in a mess. What mess? We've got no one to preside. Well, the deacons, oh, they won't. It's got to be in Welsh, you see. It's the annual festival. What should we say? We want someone to invite the conductor. Do I do that? He said. You'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. I was used to do it. Boys, 2 for the price of 1. And so they're only £5 a week. And a house. Tell me, who is the conductor? Well, we don't know, but it's Mr. John Williams from the Gwynedd there. John Williams, I said. Jack and Hendy, I said. Oh, I know him. So I went, and I went from the Glanva to the Garo Valley and hoped they'd all enjoy. It was an annual festival. And as it happened, it was a lovely day. I hope we'll all enjoy. And may I wish to Sir John Williams, he's a good man. He's been doing this for years. And he comes from the best place in the world. And he said, I do. I know you. So it was great. But when Cyril came home, you've done it now, he said. They'll want to do it. You not to do it. Don't start now. You look after the women's side. And from there we didn't stop. But Cyril told me, I'm not going to be along. Yeah, long. Because they want to know your business, everything. Where have you been in my jigs? Who have you seen? But when he went there, he went there, he was 23, you see. And there are lots of young girls there looking forward to meeting him. But I've already told them, there's no need. I know he's having letters all the time. So they knew everything. And I was only there 2 years. And Martin was born in March. When we were there, the Garo Valley decided to get refugees in from Holland. There won't be much trouble to you. Breakfast, a bed and supper. The schools are taking for dinner and they'll have tea. And after school, about five, they come home. And the young, they want to go to bed. So Cyril said, we've got to take one. Sounds like an example. I can't, I said. I'm going to bedroom. I know what I'll do. I'll give her our bedroom and we'll take blankets and we'll go on the little bed you had. Well, if you were willing, I said, I'll have one. And we had this little girl. And she did say, this is my bedroom? Yeah. So, in 2 days, she was quiet and quiet. And she said, may I bring my friends to see my bedroom? Enough, said enough. Yes, I said, if you like to. So she brought 3 or 4 of them. It was after I understood, you see, they were in box rooms. The people put them up in box rooms and sleeping bags. And she, I saw, Jew, that minister's got a lovely house. Anyhow, at the end, about halfway, she said, do you know, I want to take a present to my mother. And we could make out what she wanted. So I decided the best thing to do, I took her down to the cooperative. Anything, yeah. No, I don't want anything. I went to the chemist, not knowing much, you see. No, and we looked at, we could make out what she wanted, and she didn't remember the name. Impossible position. Anyhow, I'll make a cake and you can take it back. But first, I've got to go and buy stuff to make a cake. So We went to the bakery. I showed her the cakes, And as we were there, the baker himself came. "I wonder," he said. And he showed her a grater. That's it. "Oh, do you know what she wants? A nutmeg. 10 Jews, she can have 5 of them." Oh, and she was laughing and joining. For my mother, we realised how poor they were. So we packed a lot of the tricks. Oh, my mother would be happy. The story went round. All she wanted was the trick. And we found out one day before they were returning. And she kissed me. Nutmeg. My mother, I don't know why, I don't know, I never heard from after. Mm-hmm. So someone came, and I said, "Irene, you've done 40 years of Christian Aid." "Well, I suppose it started there," I said. She had nothing. I could see it from the clothes, you see. So we went to London. And my son, who is now 75, and my mother said, "What on earth do they want in London?" And my father said, "It's good. It's good. It's getting on. It's getting on, you see." Well, she knew that she could go to London. And my sister next to me, she was working a bank, but she was made redundant, you see. 45, 46, they were coming home. And Cyril said, "Come with us to London. We'll find you a job. You want to go to a bank?" "Yes, I'd like a bank." So she came with us to London. We arrived in London, £7 a week in London. But then we arranged. She lived with us. She'd give me £2 and keep the rest. And it was very happy. But we were there for, we had a lovely time. All the Cardiff was in capital. The young people came to seek work in London. We were full of young people, full of young people. Some of them were in school with us. So, you know, every weekend on a Saturday, they were living in flats, you see. They came over to our house and I'd cook a tea for them. Some of them are still friends of us. Not many now. But I wasn't able to go to chapel, had this baby to look after. But then when he became about 4, my sister said, "I look after him, you go. But you go in the morning, afternoon. I want to go in the night. All the young people come there." "But Cyril, that's all right. But I want Martin to be a Welsh the same as me. And he's got no one to play." And he came in one day and told us David next door was coming in to play with his song. "There," said Cyril. So I had a call from Carmarthen. And it was one of the best calls ever he did. It was a very full church. And they used to come to my mother. "Have you heard from London?" "No, no. They're all right, I know. No. No. It's Sylvia coming. I said, what do you mean? They want him in Carmarthen. I don't know. So, in the end, my sister and I crying, not wanting to come. We're having great in London. You've got to realise Martin is ready at school. Where's he going to school? So, against our wishes, he decided to come. He'll be all right. He'll be much nearer. So we came at the outing. My mother coming up by train. Oh, we'd had the little girl then, Anne. She was 1 year old. And my mother coming up and taking them home with her. And Sylvia taking her to Paddington. And she taking them down. And my father meeting in Llanelli off the train. And they're there. And when you move now, we'll give you time to put things in order. This is Wednesday. We'll bring them in on Saturday. And that was it. So the lorry came, and at the time, one of the deacons had put a note in. I've given her a present, a ton of coal. My mother and father brought Martin and the little baby Anne 1 year in on Saturday. And my mother said, she's been sleeping, I'll put her to bed. But I'm supposed to go to Burryport. Cyril's not here. What do you want in Burryport? Well, his brother, Edwell, and his wife asked her to come for the weekend. Oh, well, that's better, she said. You have your food ready then. We'll take you. So they took us to Burryport, and Edwell and they were expecting us, you see, full of glory. I said, Anne is sleeping. But Martin was 4, you see. He's ready for bed. So I put him in bed. And they put Anne in a carriage. And I said, this is not right. There's something wrong, I said. What you mean there's something wrong? Well, Anne is a lively child. As much as you could do. Edwell, I said, do you know your local doctor? Can you get? At this time, he said. Yes, please. I'm very unhappy. So he got the doctor, and as soon as he saw Anne, he said, where have the children been? I just brought them from Carmarthen. How long has it been? Well, when my mother brought her in yesterday. Yeah, but where have they been? Oh, they've been from London on the train. She's got polio, he said. What do you mean? She's got what? Polio. Have you other children? Yes, he's in bed. I want to see him. He went up and saw Martin. Martin is in bed, I said. He's tired. because you were sick this morning. Thank God you were sick. He massaged you as well. Were they together? Sorry, he said. There's no polio around here. Someone was a carrier on that train. Isolation. I said, there's one up in Tumble tonight. So Idwell and I went up and left there. Well, it was still back in the morning. Idwell, you tell him, and isn't so. Cyril said, come back with me to come out then and put Martin in bed. I'll speak to the doctor. So we went to the tumble. She'd had polio. Thank God she was quiet. It's not too bad, but she can't come home. You can come, but through a glass. Why did we come to Carmarthen? It's not Carmarthen's fault. It's someone on the train, and we never know who that is. Anyhow, I'm better. But system then, you see. She would have been 72 now, you see. Anyhow, she came home. It's funny, the world is all funny. We met someone who was escaped from a Jew whose parents had died in a concentration camp, and he trained and he found his way and he was living in Carmarthen. So Cyril found him out and willingly come. When he first came, oh, I know what to do. He was a qualified masseur. He said, I put it up like that, and I hold it up like that. And when he first came, she cried, I don't want him, I don't want him, I don't want him. And we had to tell Martin, she's your sister. He'd forgotten her. It's been there 6-7 weeks, you see. My sister, come here, he said. My sister. And she couldn't speak English. She's speaking English, you see. Anyhow, it worked out. And eventually the skin got harder, you see. And then when he came, he'd been coming for weeks. I'd forgotten we paid him, I don't much. But it was a pleasure to pay him. He'd be better. And it won't notice, he said. So then she said, I'm going to meet him. I opened the door and they became cred friends, you see. So she didn't mind putting it up. The skin was hard, you see. And then a rich friend of us, he always stayed with us. I want you to come up to Harley Street and you stay with me and show a man. So we took her to Harley Street and they said, whoever's been at this has done a very good job. He waits and she's 5. You notice at all, he'll go. Good way of doing it. So that was a great relief.
And this is the point at which we had a tea break. So we will be back with part 2 of my interview with Irene Williams.